Hi, my name is Lou Palumbo. This is Between the Lines. And as we have every day, never a shortage of rather contentious issues and I would say mild cases of insanity transpiring throughout the United States. And we're hoping to try to come to some type of resolution through conversation with civility and decency. If anyone's wondering what the motivation is behind doing something like this podcast, it's a very simple concept. It's about our children, their future, and ultimately the future of this country. I do remind everyone, our children are the future of this country. So we're going to look at some issues. We're going to talk to them candidly, truthfully, openly, objectively. We're going to divorce our politics and our personal sentiments. And we hopefully, although we probably will entertain you, we really want to give you food for thought and motivate you to become part of this conversation. Just very quickly, a couple of weeks ago, we had a gentleman on, Frank Smith, who's the president of Phantom Rescue. He collaborates with a gentleman by the name of Tony Sparks. There's a problem in this country that doesn't seem to get enough playtime. It's called sex trafficking. It doesn't always necessarily lend itself to abduction. Sometimes we have families participating in it. As we more recently are aware, we had two CNN producers who solicited sex from minors. That's part of a trafficking mechanism. So it's a very big problem that's being, I wouldn't even say glossed over. It's not even being looked at properly. We need to form a task force. We need to begin to collaborate with the indigenous people because this problem is wreaking havoc on their lands. They're abducting their women. Big problem, no airtime, and we need to change that. And the reason I keep bringing it up is to give everybody some motivation to pay attention to this because it could happen in your family quite accidentally. It could happen to your college students. You know, it could happen to your children on the street. There's a lot of things going on in this country today that are a little unsettling, and we're, I guess, distracted without going into this whole issue about COVID alone. We're distracted by a lot of other issues here that, not that they're not equally as important, but this is important as well. So before I get rolling here, I do want to thank Buzzsprout and Instacart. By the way, we do use Buzzsprout as a platform for this podcast. It's very user-friendly. Instacart, another very user-friendly application. You contact them via the app on your phone. You can place an order, and they'll deliver it to you. And we actually use that as well in my home. So there's also some special offers that we've set aside for you. So and you can find us, by the way, on BetweenTheLines.tv. I encourage you to call in, send the pigeon with a message, email me however is most convenient for you. So without further ado, I just want to go right to our first caller, and we're going to have a few emails in addition. So here we go. We're looking for Randy, who's going to call in, I believe, from West Virginia.
Hey, good morning, Lou.
Randy?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me tell you, right out of the gate, my wife was born in West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, her dad was in the military during Vietnam. He was a colonel, not reserves. He was a colonel in the United States Air Force. And my wife was born there, and they did a little traveling around, bouncing around, and we're a little familiar with West Virginia. So I do want to ask you, you called me today, and there must be a reason. You have a question for me today, sir?
Yeah, first off, I just wanted to say Happy New Year. Hope all is well with you, Lou.
Thank you. You too.
With our country being more divided now than ever, it's a new year, and with that comes the New Year's resolution. So my question is, what resolution would you give the United States in 2022 to unite as a nation as a whole?
Pull your horns in and start to have conversations. I would say that have some civility attached to it and understand the importance of compromise. That should be our resolution because these extremes are what's pulling us apart. The lack of decency, the lack of civility in conversation, the less than constructive manner in which we criticize one another or make fun of each other even, is a little disconcerting and is fueling the fire. It's simple. We need to change the way we've been doing business. That's our resolution. Examine those things where we're falling short and change them. It's not a lot to the answer to that question, Randy. It's really kind of simple. Change the way we're doing business and focus on the things that are important. And I always stress this before you say something and decide to do something, do me a favor and think about how it translates to these children of ours and how it's going to translate to the future of this country and the world they're growing up in. So I gather your state is somewhat, I would say, moderate, and you have a rather interesting Democratic senator there, Mr. Manchin. Are you guys under fire in West Virginia, do you think? Are you guys being attacked?
Do you mean, like, what do you mean by that?
Well, by the politics of the country, by the media, the fact that Joe Manchin, who will, doesn't seem, I see, seems immovable, immovable, I'm not going to say that word, they seem to be unable to move his position, especially regarding this Build Back Better bill. I mean, are you guys catching any flack from that as a result of his position?
As far as I know, no. I believe that everything is pretty much standard here. Everybody pretty much agrees with each other. There isn't really any discrepancies among the community or anything, as far as I know.
Would you say your state is conservative, Randy?
I would definitely qualify our state as a conservative.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, you have a Democratic United States senator who happens to be a conservative Democrat, by the way. What are your gun laws in the state of West Virginia, by the way, Randy? I'm curious.
As far as I know, it's open carry. You just have to have a concealed permit if you get stopped with a firearm.
And what about assault rifles? Any bans, magazine capacity restrictions?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure exactly, but I'm pretty sure there's a restriction to how many magazine rounds you're allowed to have.
Yeah, I'd be curious because I've always had this optic that West Virginia was rather on the conservative side and one of the states that embrace, you know, firearms. And like, there's no secret that a lot of our states in this country, our children cut their teeth on fishing poles and firearms. You know, it's just part of part of the culture, and that's what's nice about the country. That culture kind of varies depending on where you are. So, how long are you born and raised in West Virginia?
I was not, actually. I was born and raised in Maryland. I was actually born in Washington, D.C.
Interesting. And how did you end up in West Virginia?
I moved here briefly right before high school to spend time and take care of my grandparents.
Interesting. I want to ask you your age, but I won't. But have you been in the service?
I have not. I almost went in a couple times, and due to financial hardship and just reasons that my family needed me, I decided not to make the leap.
Okay, good. How about occupationally? What are you doing there? Keep yourself busy.
Right now, I'm just an entrepreneur. Do a lot of things online with social media, selling things for friends here and there. My grandmother just got over cancer, so I'm literally trying to work my way back into developing a foundation for myself.
Good. That's good. As long as you're doing something moving forward, that's important. Do you have any children, Randy, yourself?
I do. I have a 7-year-old son who will be 8 in February.
Yeah. My son's going to be 16 in February. I got a late start in life. I was actually single till I was 54, believe it or not. I was running like the wind. I'm sure you have concerns about his future and a lot of the noise that he's being subjected to in this culture today. You know, our children are not even allowed to be children anymore. We've just jettisoned them into this whole conversation that is, I would have to say, on some levels, emotionally overwhelming. You know, the virus, the masks, the teachers, you know, the overall, I would say, lack of harmony in this country, which goes back to your question and the resolution. It's a little disconcerting. I want to ask you, do you have any particular concerns yourself for your children?
My main concern, I think, is just how desensitized everybody is as a whole, as a society. It just seems like there's no sympathy from what I can see as I get older. I'm 36, by the way. But it seems like just everything in general, there's no sympathy. People just seem to bully or want to make some kind of a profit off of somebody's trauma, or like if something, you know, bad happens, they're like recording it instead of trying to be there for people. It just seems like we're going backwards as a society, and I think we need to focus more on trying to be there for each other, especially during these times.
You know, it's, these are really good points you bring up, Randy, and there's an explanation as to how we've evolved into this. Part of it has to do with technology and the mismanagement of it, to be very candid with you. The other part of it lends itself to the family unit. It's up to the parents to really start to instill in children, you know, their thought process, how they embrace other people. A little bit about what we're talking about is sympathy and empathy, very big characteristics that you want your children to have, along with teaching them to be kind and gentle and patient. But you're not seeing it in leadership, so what makes you think the kids are going to pick up on these traits? This is really interesting. The problem is there's a lack of leadership in this country, and I'm not going to point to either side of the aisle because I think both sides of the aisle are contributing to this deficiency. But it's got to start with the people that are above our children, and we have to instill in them ideas or thought processes that enhance their lives and their relationships with people. What you mentioned about this issue of desensitize, you know, technology is doing that, Randy. I mean, you know, I can tell you when I was a young man, if I wanted to break up with a girl, I didn't text her, had to look her eye to eye or have a phone call with her. Either way, it was painful. And tell her that the situation wasn't going to go in the direction that she wanted it to today. I just bang out a text or an email. That's insensitive. That's desensitization. I'm really stumbling with words today, folks, but that's okay. In any event, you know, there's just an interesting expression. And this expression lends itself to households, the work environment, political environment, and the media. It says the fish thinks from the head down. Each one of these entities that I just mentioned has a hierarchy or a leadership. It starts with the message that they send, you know, send through the culture, which we should really be focusing on what we're saying and doing in front of our children because they're watching us. What's so interesting about the media, if you want to talk about how your children are desensitized, they're listening to grown people in major media outlets be as disrespectful and demeaning towards one another and insulting and degrading as they possibly can. And so you expect the children not to pick up that characteristic, you know, be less sensitive towards people feeling. It just doesn't make sense, and it's never going to add up, or the quotient isn't going to be what we want it to be. And that's why we're doing this podcast, Randy, to be candid with you. We're trying to change the conversation. We're trying to give people food for thought. I want to say something to you. Never accept anything that I say to you as dogma, as a gospel. I don't want to spoon feed you, and I don't want you to be spoon fed by those in the media outlet that are less than responsible. And the same thing with our elected officials. You're an intelligent man in a world that has a lot of information readily available to you. Go out and seize that information, come to your own conclusions. You know, the politics in the country is what's tearing us apart. I think if people could just separate themselves from that, and for example, take a look at your major cities, right? I'm not telling you who to vote for, Randy. I'm telling you, take a look at your major cities and ask yourself what the common denominator is in political leadership in each of those cities. If you can't figure it out, then I'll help you along. You know, or if you're too afraid to face the truth about people that you've embraced in the past, I'll help you along. But it's right out there for you. You know, there's what they call optics. A picture's worth a thousand words. Mm-hmm. Your major cities, your borders, the price of gas at a pump, and it goes on and on and on. At some point, it's incumbent upon the American public to connect the dots on their own without being spoon-fed by the media or even people like myself. I just want to give you food for thought, buddy. I want to take a break, and then I want to come back and ask you to give me the final word or a final question. So stick with me, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a podcaster, I can't say enough good things about Buzzsprout. That is how we distribute our show. And to learn more about them, go to our betweenthelines.tv. I do want to explain one thing about Buzzsprout. Very user-friendly. And as you know, we incorporate it ourselves. So if you're inclined to create your own podcast and you want some real good support mechanism, we would tell you entertain Buzzsprout. They're very, very good. And as I said, we use them. Instacart. Another interesting concept, you can go to your favorite grocery store, sign on to their application without leaving your home, the comfort of your home, just pick out the items you'd like, they'll assign a personal shopper for you and deliver them to the point that you would like them delivered to. Another great concept, very user-friendly, and I'll be honest, we use it also, it's very effective, and they're very, very good, they're very on point. We're back, and I have a gentleman on the phone, Randy, and he's from West Virginia, my wife's home state. I just want to say one final time, Randy, I would like to give you an opportunity to pose another question or make another comment before we have to move on.
I would just like to say that we need to come together as a whole, as a community, much like 9/11 when we had a major presidential event that everyone came together. I think that's the only way that we're going to get back to the way this world or this nation should be ran. So what do you think that we need to do as a whole to get back to that level of, I don't know what word to say to summarize it, to just say that as a group and a community that we need to get back to.
It sounds like you're trying to say we need a cause to galvanize us. And
yeah,
those causes are staring you right in the face, Randy. If it isn't what's going on in your major cities, if it isn't what's going on the border, it isn't what's going on with the economy, if it isn't what's going on the foreign front with foes like Russia and China and Iran, you know, I often tell people there's nothing the Iranians, the Chinese, or the Russians can do to us we're not doing. But I want to tell you this you're going to find interesting. I was in Times Square when those buildings went down. I was on the set of ABC protecting Charlie Gibson and Diane Sawyer and also Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York. It did galvanize us for a little while. People started to realize, you know, things that were actually important as opposed to those things that we embrace every day that aren't important, like your iPhone generation and your flat screen TV. I think, though, to really simplify this, the message has to change from the top. It's got to start with the words that come out of the mouth of the president and all the elected officials, and these very, very dangerous people in the media that are so hell-bent on giving you their opinions, and they're no more better informed or more equipped to give an opinion on a topic than you are, Randy. Don't sell yourself short and don't over-empower them. I just don't know what – I could talk about this to you all day long is the problem, but my inclination is to try to lend ideas that are going to fix this problem. So I say put down the political swords and start to come to terms with what we're facing and where we ultimately want to go. And above all things, think about our children. You know, there's nothing really else to say on this whole issue for today. But I do want to thank you, Randy, for calling in. I would encourage you to call in again or, you know, email me or however is most suitable and comfortable for you to you know, contact me.
I'll definitely be in contact with you in the future.
Find some peace in life, buddy. This is a short journey, and it's not a dress rehearsal. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to take a peek at some emails. My name is Lou Palumbo. This is Between the Lines, and you can find us at betweenthelines.tv. If you're a podcaster, I can't say enough good things about Buzzsprout. That is how we distribute our show, and to learn more about them, go to our betweenthelines.tv. I do want to explain one thing about Buzzsprout. Very user-friendly, and as you know, we incorporate it ourselves. So if you're inclined to create your own podcast and you want some real good support mechanism, we would tell you entertain Buzzsprout. They're very, very good, and as I said, we use them. Instacart, another interesting concept. You can go to your favorite grocery store, sign on to their application without leaving your home, the comfort of your home. Just pick out the items you'd like. They'll assign a personal shopper for you and deliver them to the point that you would like them delivered to. Another great concept, very user-friendly, and I'll be honest, we use it also. It's very effective, and they're very, very good. They're very on point. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and we have some emails we want to look into today. I have a young lady from Hicksville, Long Island, and she has a question for me. She says, or asks, Lou, you have said in the past, and I am paraphrasing you, that New York City needs to hit rock bottom before it can be reborn and prosper. Has it hit rock bottom? And with the new leadership of Eric Adams, what hope do you see, and how soon will his actions make a difference? Okay. Boy, is he having an uphill climb. I mean, he wasn't even sworn in yet, and they had BLM's leader threatening bloodshed and civil disobedience in our streets. You know, what's so interesting about the city of New York is that the Republicans basically have thrown their hands up, and they don't even have a presence there any longer. I don't mean to disrespect Curtis Sliwa. I don't know him. He's probably a good guy, but he's hardly the best qualified person to run a city like New York that has such ethnic and religious diversity as well as cultural differences. Boy, this is a hard job. Our country's going in that direction. And while we're talking about the city in Manhattan, you know, for example, we're looking at a district attorney, Alvin Braggs. I don't know what happened here in the thought process to think that people who commit serious violent offenses should not be incarcerated. I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't know if we should dignify that. But for the record, this is what Eric Adams is facing. I don't understand how he's going to get his own party who control the city of New York, the Democratic Party. That's a fact. This is not my opinion. That's a fact. To try to understand that, as I said in the answer to the question a moment ago, we need to change the way we're doing business. That's the heavy lift in the city of New York. And, you know, unfortunately, I think the people in the city of New York, a considerable number of them, feel powerless. And I can understand why. You know, I do want to say one thing interestingly, though, Bonnie. Less than 20% of the people voted each time de Blasio ran. And I normally don't like to say anything hypercritical, but we just watched a mayor bring the greatest city in the history of civilization to its knees. So much so that Eric Adams is an interesting individual. He's a little bit of a rebel rouser. You know, he was a captain in the police department. That's not a bad assessment of him either. He realizes that we need to regress back into some of these tactics, for example, that need to be judiciously employed, like stop and frisk, in order to get the gun violence down. You know, I just don't understand what the DA's thinking and how he's going to marry up to what the mayor's thinking. You know, and just for the record, everyone, this isn't just New York. You have to look across your country: L.A., San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Philadelphia, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Detroit, Atlanta, Austin, Texas, Milwaukee, Minneapolis. Sadly, we're not even probably in the top five as far as ridiculousness. We're heading in that direction with this new DA. And my aspiration is that he's going to be short-lived, because the one thing I can tell you with Eric Adams, he is hell-bent on succeeding. I don't know if he has the skill set. We're going to find out. But I do think he has a very clear mindset as to what needs to take place in this city. And he sees, perhaps very importantly, the impact of this remissful approach to managing the city with boundaries and consequences and how it's impacted the minority community. Inescapable. Not my opinion. Just look at the stats for yourself. So, San Francisco. Interesting. Suddenly we had divine intervention, and we're going to now fund the police. Okay, after the same mayor, I believe it's Bowden, decided to take $120 million from their budget. I just would like her to listen to this for one second. You better figure out how to remotivate the police, because you can give them all the money you want in raises, and you can hire as many of them as you like. They're not going to go to work for you, because you made a point of destabilizing their families by taking their pensions, and better yet, separating them from their families through incarceration. That's right. We want to incarcerate the police every chance we get, but if you're an armed felon or a violent offender in the city of New York, for example, and LA and San Francisco and any number of these cities, we're going to let you walk in and walk out. It's incredible what's happening in this country today, but this is what I say. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Go out on your own and be your own investigator. And the way to change this is the way we started to see it change November 2nd of 2021. You vote. Not through violence, but you vote. My concern is that this climate that's been created by some in the media and some of the elected officials and some of these other peripheral groups like Antifa and BLM are going to fuel violence. And that's not the way we're going to fix this problem. Take a look at, just for a second, you know, everyone should take a look at Miami and what's going on there. You know, they're in a rather, I would say, tenuous state also. And this is the thing that's sadly true. Everyone should look at what the political affiliation is of anyone who's running our major cities. I'm not even going to get to the point of our government where this has turned into a free-for-all at our borders, even though they would like to intentionally intentionally mislead you into thinking it's not as bad as it is. I always kid around and say, does the country have a certificate of occupancy? I've repeatedly told people we've grown 135 million since 1970, 50 million since the millennium, to the year 2000. How many more people are we going to let in that we can't take care of? I say this all the time. We don't take care of the homeless, the mentally ill. We don't take care of our elderly. We don't take care of our veterans. We don't take care of our children. Let's let some more people in we can't take care of. You know, all I could tell you is this. The cuckoo left the clock, and it's up to the American voter to go and correct who's running the show. And I do want to say one thing about this. Likely the Republicans, based on the climate and the momentum that they're gaining as a result of the behavior of the Democratic Party, they're going to regain seats in the House of Representatives. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think there would have to be a lightning strike for that not to happen. I only have one question for you guys. What are you going to do different than we did before? That's all there is to it. That's it in a nutshell. Are we going to flip-flop the House every 2 years like we traditionally witness? You know, a president comes in midterm or after his first term, the entire House, the entire mechanism that he needs to support doing anything for this country goes the opposite direction of him. Just for the record, folks, if you think the president's running the country, you're mistaken. It's your congressmen and your senators. They control this country. Without them being in alignment with the thought process of the president of the United States and an agenda that's in the best interest of our children in this country, nothing will get done. So the Republicans are going to get another at bat in 2022, and I don't know how in the wide world of sports the Democrats plan on keeping the White House in 2024. This is I don't want to say anything demeaning about the president. I just say this to you. Father Time caught him. It's not Joe Biden's fault. It's this journey through life. And sometimes Father Time grabs us by the shorts at an earlier age than we really want to be grabbed. And unfortunately, I think he's there. The key is not to mock him, ridicule him, make fun of him when he misspeaks or he cannot connect his thoughts in such a manner he's able to articulate them. This is not how, that's not who we are. We have to change who we are here, folks. And to go back to Randy's question, we need to stop doing business the way we did and start doing business another way that's productive. That's it in a nutshell. This is not complicated. And so all of you understand, I'm not a rocket scientist, although we did have one on the show earlier. We'd like to get her back, by the way, Mr. Producer. Young lady was brilliant. I don't want to go off on a tangent and tie you up there, but I want to go right to another email, if I may. Bonnie, I thank you for calling in. If you're listening to this, I was a lifeguard at Jones Beach about 15 years, right down the road from you. Had a great time there, by the way. Bonnie, thank you for that email. And we're going to move onto Martin, who's from Frankfort, Kentucky. He says, Lou, I'm a father of two, and we started homeschooling a little over 3 years ago, pre-pandemic. My kids are 10 and 14. What do you think of homeschooling? And what can I say to make sure they have social interaction they need and stay safe? Safe from crime, COVID, mask wearing issues, and above all, not missing out on life. Do you have any experience with this? I have my own children, four of them, ranging in ages from 9 to 15. I'm living in your world. I am not a proponent of homeschooling. Unfortunately, sometimes it looks like it's the lesser of the evils, the way the learning environment's being constructed. For those who haven't put on the idiot box, Chicago's teachers just basically went on strike. They're refusing to go to work, which is putting our children into a remote learning process again. I do want to tell everyone something rather interesting about this remote learning. The children that suffer the most from that are minority children, by the way. Just happens to be the way it is. You know, there's another bigger, broader discussion about how to, I would say, change the trajectory of this country in regards to the minority community and rebuild some fences and heal some wounds. But, you know, your children at such a young age are exposed to all these political issues and all these political agendas and all this rhetoric that's less than constructive. And it must work on their psyche. You know, I can remember, and I was a little boy in the 50s and 60s, you know, we didn't have any of this. We didn't have any of this noise in our ear as children. Oh, yeah, by the way, the news came on at 5. not running around the clock, which, you know, in theory should have been something that was very good. We just took our eye off the ball here. We became preoccupied with sponsors that pay your paycheck, right? And ratings, which are predicated on viewership, right? Which motivate your sponsors, by the way, which, you know, we're just doing this all wrong, ladies and gentlemen. And it's up to the public to maybe stop listening to the news. Stop letting them get into your head. And as I constantly remind people, don't let them spoon feed you this nonsense. There are responsible journalists out there. I want to mention one. Hope she doesn't get upset with me. Nora O'Donnell, brilliant young woman. I listen to this girl speak all the time. You know, I never get her opinions. She pretty much comes at you straightforward with factual information. I've had the pleasure of working for Anderson Cooper about 15 years. I usually spend New Year's Eve with him every New Year's Eve. This was the first one I didn't because of a changing of the guard and the security mechanism in CNN that I guess they think they're smarter than I am, but they're on the learning curve. Anderson's another guy. He oftentimes divorces his own political views or feelings and comes at you a bit more straightforward with the truth. You know, there's no question that the Democrats and the Republicans have different agendas. And by the way, guys, we need both parties. We need both of them to be healthy. I would ask you objectively to take a good look at the internal workings of the Democratic Party right now and tell me if you sense health there. They're divided within themselves, which is why they're having such a problem, I would say, uniting to get agendas passed by the president. This administration is imploding, and that's just a fact. That's not my opinion. Open your eyes and take a look at it for yourself. Don't be spoon-fed by me. Take a look at what's happening in your country. And the way to fix this is not through civil disobedience, but through voting. You have to get off your haunches and go vote. You see what's wrong, get up and change the conversation. You can do that. And by the way, when you vote the next knuckleheads in, if they don't do what you need them to do, vote them out too. Maybe we need to impose our own form of term limits. You follow? We all understand term limits. You basically got to be 6 feet under before we strip you of your title. You can impose a term limit just by not allowing them to continue these blind leading agendas of theirs. So I do thank you for that that email, and I do want to go to another email after this break. I'm Lou Palumbo. This is Between the Lines. Please look us up at betweenthelines.tv. If you're a podcaster, I can't say enough good things about Buzzsprout. That is how we distribute our show. And to learn more about them, go to our betweenthelines.tv. I do want to explain one thing about Buzzsprout. Very user-friendly. And as you know, we incorporate it ourselves. So if you're inclined to create your own podcast and you want some real good support mechanism, we would tell you entertain Buzzsprout. They're very, very good. And as I said, we use them. Instacart, another interesting concept. You can go to your favorite grocery store, sign on to their application without leaving your home, the comfort of your home. Just pick out the items you'd like. They'll assign a personal shopper for you and deliver them to the point that you would like them delivered to. Another great concept, very user-friendly, and I'll be honest, we use it also. It's very effective, and they're very, very good. They're very on point. We are back, and Patrick from Bethesda, Maryland, a place that I am familiar with, he's asking me this question. He said, it's the one-year anniversary of the Capitol riots. I'm still trying to figure out who's to blame, Trump, Glenn Beck, the media, social media, and what's to prevent something like this from happening again? I think that what happened at the Capitol is symptomatic of a much bigger problem. I think we are so divided, so distrustful, and the lines in the sand have been so deeply drawn that people are engaging in activities that are, I would say, lack consistency with where we are as a country as far as education, technology, you know, all of the positive things we have. We're an incredibly resilient country. You know, no matter what you hear me say that's negative about what's going on, understand this. There's no country in the history of civilization with the resilience this country has. What's to prevent it from happening again? Well, if you want to know the mechanics attached to it, it has to do with our intelligence community, with our FBI, with local law enforcement, their ability to garner information and to be ahead of any of these incidents. And I don't mean to laugh. And what will prevent it again is the fact that every time you sneeze wrong in the direction of the Capitol, the powers to be put up chain link fencing around it so you can't get to it. I don't mean to laugh, but there's so much hypocrisy and inconsistency. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention, we deploy tens of thousands National Guard troops to D.C. if they get a little nervous. We don't do that in Chicago. We don't do that in New York or L.A. or a lot of cities in peril. But if our elected officials get a little nervous, you can look for tens of thousands of National Guard, chain link fence, and they start to contain and control and implement all these tools we know in law enforcement to prevent these incidents from getting out of hand. There's nothing that's going to prevent it per se, except I think the likelihood is not very great. I do want to say something, and I don't want to give too much information, but you know, we've developed a very unique, I would say, tool in infiltrating these groups that are subversive, regardless of the nature of the group, whether it's, you know, motorcycle gangs or militia groups or any type of subversive group. You know, the government knows how to address that. My only concern is that that's not agenda driven, and we only do it if it serves a political entity. It should be done regardless of any kind of political aspect or attachment to it. So I do want to continue to people encourage people to email me and to call in. I like it better when you call in. In fact, one of our listeners touched on it. There's more personalization. You know, emails don't give you an opportunity to ask me a follow-up question or give me your opinion, because I don't expect you to take everything I say and just run with it. As I tell you all the time, I'm trying to give you food for thought. I'm trying to make you understand that there are alternatives out here other than the status quo that we're just drowning in. And, you know, it's your time to have a voice. You'll have a voice at the polls. You'll have a voice with me. You don't have to agree with me, by the way. What you do have to understand, though, is we're not going to insult each other. We're not going to get contentious. And we're going to start to learn to accept one another, even though we don't think alike. There's nothing wrong with the fact that we're different. You have to learn from the people you're different from. Sometimes it just continues to develop you. Put your guard down and go out and test the water a little bit. Start to listen to people with ideas that are different than yours. You might find out there's a commonality attached to it. Your children. Guys, thank you so much for listening today. I hope you guys listen more frequently. I do want to remind everyone, we're about to go on air in a local radio station in Jacksonville, WBOB. And if I'm correct, my mentors, Mr. Williams, Mr. Molander, Mr. Spurgeon, Mr. Rossell, are telling me it's around January 24th. Try to plug in there. You're going to find this is going to be real interesting. We're going to get away from the politics, and we're going to get into the problem-solving aspect of living every day, because that's what you have to do. I do want to leave you with one final thought for the day. A good part of your survival is predicated on your ability to stop on a dime and change direction. I do want to remind people one final time about Tony Sparks and Frank Smith at Phantom Rescue, who are vehemently addressing the sex trafficking issue that is just rampant in this culture. Thank you so much, guys, and I hope to hear from you guys again. I'm Lou Palumbo, and this has been Between the Lines.